Greetings in Jesus' name. It's a blessing to be here again this morning. I trust you're blessed already this morning. I trust that you are. thank you also for that song, Jason. I would like to also, I'm just going to read a few verses of another song. And I appreciated the song that we sang earlier about building for eternity. And just goes, I think it connects with the message that I have this morning. I'll just read a few verses of this song. 406 is Faith of Our Fathers. The song goes, or the verse goes like this. Faith of our fathers living still, in spite of dungeon, fire, and sword. Oh, how our hearts beat high with joy when'er we hear that glorious word, faith of our fathers, holy faith, we will be true to thee till death. The next verse says, our fathers chained in prisons dark, were still in heart and conscience free. How sweet would be their children's fate if they, like them, could die for thee. Verse 3, faith of our fathers, we will love both friend and foe, in all our strife, and preach thee too, as love knows how, by kindly words and virtuous life. And then, it concludes, faith of our fathers, holy faith, we will be true to thee till death. Why don't we just bow for a word of prayer. Father in heaven, we thank you for your blessings on us again this morning. God, we look to you. God, it's because of you, Lord, that we are here, Lord. It's because of who you are, and Lord, because of your faithfulness, and because of what you've done in our life. And God, I pray that that faith in you, Lord, would stir in our hearts, Lord, that we would be faithful, God, to the end. God, there's many in this day and age that have lost their way, Lord, that are losing their way. And I pray, God, that you would strengthen us this morning. Strengthen our faith in you, Lord, our trust, just like we heard at children's lesson as well, and also that we could be the encouragement like we heard in the opening, Father. I just pray, help us, Father, this morning. We thank you. We look to you in Jesus' name. Amen. The reason that I mentioned that song is the song Faith of Our Fathers. I was reading in Hebrews 11 and would like to speak more on that chapter, but I'd like to have a little bit of a some other scripture reading before that as well. I guess pray for me that I could be able to. I don't just have it nicely outlined. I would wish I could do that better, that like some others can nicely outline a message. I hope I can give some key pointers, those of you that are taking notes, that you can take some things and go on with them. some of you could just nicely outline this, maybe a teacher, maybe those of you that are gifted in teaching better than I am. But I trust that we can learn something and you can catch some of the, you could call it a burden or vision, whatever you would call it, for us as God's people, and for God's will for the church. The title of my message is The Importance of Your Faith. And I should maybe not have it as second person. I should maybe have it as first person, but I think all of us can connect with that. The importance of your faith. It's important for you. It's important for me. the importance of your faith. A subtitle for that, if you'd want one, it would be "Without Faith, It Is Impossible to Please God." Without faith, it is impossible to please God, and that's why the title is because that scripture we find in Hebrews 11. We'll be talking more about that as well. But that's what I would really like to impress upon all of us, that without faith, really our religion is vain. Christianity is vain. Our church going is vain. Our profession is vain unless there is faith. Unless there is faith. And I know there's some of these scriptures that the Apostle Paul, and in one sense, I believe if you're a critic and you look at the words and you just want to pull words apart, you could look at what the Apostle Paul writes about faith, and you look at the words what the Apostle James writes, and you could think that they're totally at opposites. They're not agreeing, but I believe they're talking about the same thing, just from a different perspective, perhaps. They're talking about the same thing. I believe both of them lived a life of faith. I know the Apostle Paul mentions, you know, the thing of faith, and that, you know, that you know, if you don't are the thing of the works of the law, you know, and they don't avail anything. You need to have faith. You know, Abraham, you know, he had faith, and that was the important thing in Paul's letters that he wrote. And then James, I'd like to actually read a few scriptures out of James, or excuse me, a few verses out of James. Turn to James chapter 2. James is found right after the book of Hebrews. James chapter 2, I'd like to just read a few verses there that pertain to faith, I believe. James chapter 2, verse 14 through 17, it says, "What doth it profit, my brethren, though a man say he hath faith and have not works? Can faith save him?" Now remember, we're talking about how important faith is. We're talking about how important faith is, but James is explaining something here. Verse 15, "If a brother or sister be naked or destitute of daily food, and one of you say unto them, Depart in peace and be warmed and filled, notwithstanding ye give him not those things which are needful to the body, what doth it profit? Even so, faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone." If our faith doesn't produce action, if you want to write a little point down that I think is so important for us to remember, true faith produces action, otherwise it's dead. If our faith doesn't produce action, it's dead. If we don't produce if it doesn't change our life into either more of a Christ-likeness or a Christ-like response, then we don't have faith. We can say we have faith, but it's really nothing. That's what the Apostle James is saying here, and I believe Paul would agree with that as well, the Apostle Paul. I'm going to do a little object lesson here for us this morning. And I'm trying to think who I could pick on that could help me. I need a little child. Maybe, let's say, a child that's about, I'd like to have a child that's about 6 years or younger. Would there be a volunteer? 6 years or younger. It's not going to be scary. It won't be scary. Maybe if I, you're six, right, Veronica? Yeah, you're six, or almost six, right? Okay, you're not scared of me, right? You believe that I am, right? You believe that I'm here. Do you believe me? You're not sure? Well, Okay, if I would tell you to come up here that I would have a little bit something for you, would you believe me? Would you come? I have something for you if you want to come. If you want to come up here, I'll give you something. That's all right. Is there anybody else that would, any other 6 year old or five, 6 year younger that would believe that I am, that I'm Stephen up here, and would want to come? Anybody else? I'm picking on the young ones because they don't understand quite so well, but is there any other? Jeremy, would you want to come? You want to come? Yeah. You believe that I am, right? That I'm here. You believe me? You believe that I would give you something? Huh? Here. There. You can take that back. Thank you. You're welcome. You can go back. Now, Veronica, would you like to come now? Huh? Would you like to come now? No? Okay. Any other six-year-old? Anybody else? Believe that I am and I would give them something. Any others? Adriana, you want to come? No? Okay. All right. Well, we'll let that then. That's all right. Josh, did you want to come? Huh? You believe that I have something for you? You believe that I am, right? Huh? And you believe I have something for you because you saw that, right? All right. Thanks. You're welcome. You're welcome. All right. Now, for you adults, for all of us, it's a very simple, I know it's a little hard, sometimes difficult to go in front of everybody and make a scene of yourself and walk up there and actually have to go do that. But it's that simple. Faith is that simple, really. Turn your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 11. You noticed how Josh and Jeremy, their faith, their realization that they knew that I am, and I'm offering them something, and they believed me that I had something good for them, it put them to action. They got out of their seat, they did something, okay? It took a bit of faith there. Hebrews chapter 11 talks about that as well. I'm just going to jump down to verse 6, and then I'm going to read more of the chapter as well. But it says, "But without faith it is impossible to please him, for he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him." Those two things, I think, that's maybe the explanation of evidence, or the explanation that we have faith, or the proof of the faith in us. Otherwise, we don't have faith. If we don't believe that God is, and we don't believe that he rewards us for seeking him. Just like those children did. Just like those children did. It's that simple. And brothers and sisters, faith is extremely important for us. If we don't have faith, we're not going to see God. If we don't have faith in God, we are not going to see God. If you didn't have faith in me this morning to come up front and get the candy, sorry, you didn't get the candy. You know, it's that simple. And I don't have any more to give. I don't have any more candies. By the way, children, don't have your hopes up. I don't have any more in my pocket. So don't come for more later. But God, it's that simple with God as well. If we must believe that he is. God exists. God is. God, and God is not only existing, but he is longing. His eyes are actually in 2 Chronicles, I believe it's 16:9. It says that the eyes of the Lord go to and fro throughout the whole earth seeking. I should just read that. I should have it memorized. I have it somewhat. I used to have it memorized, but I don't so much have it, just that I can say it flawlessly. It says, "For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong on the behalf of them whose heart is perfect toward him." That's the first part of that verse in which he's talking to one of the kings that had not done wisely. He had done foolishly there, and he was reminding him that he would have longed to reward him, just like it says in Hebrew, rewarding them that diligently seek him. God is longing to pour out his blessing. God is longing to give us a gift. And when I say give us a gift, I don't think just simply making our lives prosper physically and to have a good life in that way, but to show himself strong in our behalf, issues that we're facing in our life, victories that we need to have in our life. God is longing, he's looking to do that. And God is, and he's looking to give that gift to us. He's looking to do that. And not only for that reason should our faith be turned towards him, but ultimately for our salvation. Without faith, it's impossible to please him, as it says in Hebrews 11 there, verse 6. "Why don't you all stand?" And I'd like to read a few of the verses. I'm not sure that I'm going to read everything here in this passage here, Hebrews 11. If you turn your Bibles to Hebrews 11 there. But I would like to read a little bit here just to give us a good picture of some others that had faith. "Now faith," starting in verse 1, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, and that so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. By faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it he, being dead, yet speaketh. By faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found, because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God." Now remember, God is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. And Enoch experienced that. Verse 6, "But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. By faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith." Verse 8, "By faith, Abraham, when he was called out to go out into a place which he should afterwards received for an inheritance, obeyed, and went out, not knowing whither he went." And let's jump on down to verse 11. "By faith also Sarah, having received strength to conceive seed, and was delivered of a child when she was past age, because she judged him faithful who had promised." Also in verse 17, it says, "By faith, Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac, and he that had received the promises offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said that in Isaac thy seed be called, accounting that God was able to raise him up even from the dead, from whence he received him in a figure. By faith, Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau concerning things to come. By faith, Jacob, when he was dying, blessed both the sons of Joseph and worshiped, leaning upon the top of his staff. By faith, Joseph, when he died, made mention of the departing of the children of Israel and gave commandment concerning his bones. By faith, Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents because they saw he was a proper child and they were not afraid of the king's commandment. By faith, Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer the affliction of the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. I'm going to jump on down to verse 32. And what shall I say more? For time would fail me to tell of Gideon, of Barak, of Samson, of Jephthah, of David also, and Samuel, and of the prophets, who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, waxed valiant in fight, turned to flight the armies of the aliens. Women received their dead raised to life again, and others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. And others had trial of cruel mockings and scourgings. Yea, moreover, of bonds and imprisonment, they were stoned and sawn asunder, were tempted, were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. I think we'll stop with that. Go ahead and sit down. Thank you. I'd just like to impress upon each one of our minds this morning the importance of our faith. You know, these people that we read about here in the chapter, Hebrews chapter 11, I don't know if they really realized what all was going on in their life or what testimony that would be to those coming after. But their faith is an encouragement. Talk about encouragement. Like we heard this morning, their faith is an encouragement to us even today. And our faith that we have today, hopefully, I pray that, is an encouragement to those coming after. The importance of our faith. It's impossible for us to see God without faith. It's completely impossible. And without faith, we don't have salvation. In order for us to experience the new birth, children, for those of you that don't know God in a personal way, that have not given your lives to the Lord, you have to come to God by faith. You have to believe on Him. First of all, you have to realize that He's there and that He will meet that need. He will meet that need, that He can change you, He can save you, He can forgive you, your sins, your wrongs. You have to believe that, just like Joshua and Jeremy did this morning. They believed that I was here and that I was calling to them and I was asking them, are you willing to come up here? I have something for you. God, in the same way, is doing that for every human being here on this earth. Everyone. He's calling. Do you want? Or he's calling, he's saying, I have something for you. I have purpose. I have meaning for you. I have life for you, is really what he says. And I know I've quoted this verse many times. I think it's in Ezekiel. I put before you life and death. Which do you want? Which do you want? I want to give you life, is what God is saying. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. And just to remember the importance of your faith. And faith just simply, it's translated in different ways in the New Testament. That specific word, faith, that's used in the first verse there. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. That faith is basically just, is translated into the English word assurance, belief, believe, faith, and fidelity. And basically you believe that it's true. You believe that it's there. And just like Joshua and Jeremy, they knew, they believed that it, that they believed in me, really. They believed in my existence, first of all. And they believed that I wouldn't do anything bad to them. They trusted me. They believed. And that's really what faith is. Faith then talks about substance, and that's translated into different words as well in the English. Confidence, confident, and person, and substance. The Greek meaning of that is a setting under or support, that is figuratively, concretely essence, or abstractly the assurance. In other words, there's another translation that uses the word conviction. The evidence one is the conviction. Sorry, I'm getting those mixed up. The next word that I had looked up was the substance and evidence and the faith in that verse. You know, the thing with faith, it's hard to lay your hands on. And that's why I wanted to give you that object lesson this morning with Jeremy and Josh there with one of the children is, it's hard for us to lay our fingers on faith. You know, we need faith. We've got to have faith. It's terribly important. Without it, we can't see God. And yet you can't lay your fingers on it, so to speak. You have to, I mean, not a physical thing. It's not just something, you know, like I have a little pocket knife here, and you know, it's not something that you can tangibly lay your, this isn't faith. You can't lay your hands on faith in that tangible way. But in, I think your minds connect with the idea of, with that illustration of the children believing that I am here, trusting in me, and coming here and expecting something good from me. And that's, in essence, is faith, I believe, when we come to God as well. So in this chapter, I want to just highlight a few things that really stand out to me that are lessons for us to take home, I believe. verse 6 again, without faith, it's impossible to please him. There is no way, there's absolutely no way that you and I can please God by all of our good works. Without all of our good deeds, there's no way that we can please God and or outdo the bad that we've done by just simply trying to be good. I know there's many other religions. I know numerous other religions are very, very strong on this thing that you need to just do a lot of good to outweigh your bad. And there's even Christians, so-called Christians, that do that as well. And we can be caught in that as well. But we need to have faith. It's not by our works. And yet, right along with that, you can't have faith unless you get out of your bench and you come and you receive the reward, just like those children did. The same thing is true for us spiritually. We can't have faith in God unless it moves us to action, unless there's some action happening in our life. We can't prove even ourselves, to ourselves, that we have faith unless it moves us to action. Without faith, it's impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is. Remember that. That's one of the main points I want to leave with you, is that we must believe that God is. That needs to be settled in everyone's heart. And that he, number two, is that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Just a few verses that I'd like to read in light of, and you may turn to this, in verse 3 it talks about the world's being framed of God, and that the so that the things which are seen were not made of, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. If you go to Psalm 19, now there's numerous verses actually that talk about this, but I just wanted to grab one or so just to remind us, or just to show that, point that out a little bit more here. These are some very beautiful things that can help us. Just like Joshua and Jeremy, maybe if I had been a visiting preacher, maybe it would have been a little harder for them to come up. But they kind of know me, you know, and the more they know me, the easier it is for them to do that, to just come. The same thing is true for us as God. Perhaps we kind of know Him, but if we pursue after God, we will know Him better. We will know Him better, and there is many, many areas where God is speaking, and I want you to catch on to that. There's many, many areas that God is speaking, and one of those areas are simply His creation. Simply His creation speaks of God everywhere. And we, as human beings, are even His creation. But if you look here in Psalm 19, it says, "The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth His handiwork. Day unto day uttereth His speech." Do you hear it? Do you hear it? He's talking. "And night unto night showeth knowledge. There is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard." If you know Pennsylvania Dutch, you understand it. If you know English, you understand it. If you know Turkish, you understand it. You can understand it, at least, if you pursue God. Their line is going out through all the earth, and their words to the end of the earth. In them hath he set a tabernacle for the sun. In other words, made a place for the sun. God has done this. This is talking about the creation that speaks of God. This is the thing that speaks of God. This is the thing, one of His pieces of creation that speaks of Him. This is still continuing about the sun, which is as a bridegroom coming out of his chamber and rejoiceth as a strong man to run a race. This is when it comes up in the morning. His going forth is from the end of the heaven, and his circuit unto the ends of the earth. And there is nothing hid from the heat thereof. Even on the North Pole, there is the sun. If the sun wouldn't shine at all, if the sun wouldn't shine at all, there would be absolutely no life on the North Pole. But there's a little bit of life. There's not as much of life there as it is along the Amazon or the equator, and so forth. There's no place on the whole earth that the heat of the sun isn't affecting the earth. And I believe the same thing is true. There's no place on earth that we can't find God. We can find God everywhere, is what I'm trying to say. We can find God everywhere in His creation. So as it says in Hebrews, there, Hebrews chapter 11, verse 3, "Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God." And if you struggle with God's existence, do a bit of looking at what He's created. Do a bit of looking at what He's created. And this thing of faith is so, so important. If you read Sean's update this morning that he sent, or if you read it, he mentions of a young boy. He makes mention of a young boy that's there. I believe he's just a teenager. He's in high school, and he chose to be a pagan. Really, he doesn't believe in God. He doesn't want to believe in God. He's choosing not to. And those are choices that you and I can make. But God still is. God still is. And God is still longing even to touch that young man's life. And God is still there with His reward wanting and waiting for that young man to turn his life over to him. Children, don't ever believe the lie that God does not exist. Don't ever believe that lie. God is. I want you to know that. I want that to be impressed in your mind. Much more sure than I stand here, God exists. God is. And not only that, not only the fact that God is, but his heart is towards you. His heart is towards you. And that's what I get out of that. He's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. God is, and he is a rewarder of those that seek him diligently. So what should we do? Let's seek after him. Children, all of us, let's seek after him with all of our heart. Some of the evidences of this true faith producing action in these men and women's life in Hebrews here, we can find that in verse 10. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 10, it says, it's talking about Abraham. For he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. He knew that he knew that there was a city somewhere. There was a city with God that was beyond this world. And he was going for it. Even though he didn't understand it all, he had faith in God and that God was the builder of this city, and he just wanted to be close to God, that he wouldn't miss out on this being a part of this kingdom, of this place, of this being a part of this God, or in having the blessing of God upon him. Also in verse 16, another thing that stands out to me, in Abraham's life, actually, it's referring to Abraham and a few of the others, actually, that it had talked about earlier. And it's talking about us being, or about them coming out of that country. They came out, maybe I should just read in verse 15 as well. And truly, if they had been mindful of that country, if Abraham would have wanted to stay in that country where he was at, they might have had opportunity to have returned. But now they desire a better country. Abraham was an expression. He walked in that way. He didn't go back to his old country. And catch this phrase. Wherefore God is not ashamed. How beautiful. Wouldn't you desire to have that label, that whatever, Brother Myron, if God would put that and say, because of that, I'm not ashamed to be called your God. That's what it says here. Wherefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God. I want that. I want that. Wherefore, God is not ashamed. But it's not a life of ease. It's not a life of just sitting back and relaxing and just enjoying life in this earth. They could have enjoyed the country that they were coming from. And today, for us to put some practical application for us, we don't have to. We're not obligated to seek after the pleasures of this world. We should pursue higher things than these earthly things. And I don't think we just have to make life hard for us. I don't think we have to just go out there. There's people that do this. They go out there and they lay on a bed of nails and they do these things just to put torture to make it hard for their flesh, and so to speak. I don't think that's what God's saying at all. But they were willing to forsake those things for the sake of Christ. And willing to, they did it. They did it. They actually did it. They walked in those in that way that brought sacrifice and brought difficulty to their life. Wherefore God is not ashamed. Wherefore God is not ashamed. And it's because of their faith. It's because their faith moved them to action. It's because of that response. To me, it blessed me just reading over this again and studying this. Blessed me to see just the simplicity of faith and responding. Also, another example, I love all these examples, they're very, very profound, but jump down to verse 24, Hebrews chapter 11, verse 24. And it actually, there's 3 points I'd like for us to catch out of this, those verses there. 3 evidences, 3 things that I think that were the evidence, the displaying of that faith in Moses' life. And maybe I'll just read all 3 verses there, 24 through 26. It says, by faith, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with God's people than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. There may be some more words that are key words, but 3 words that really, really stand out to me. And number one, he refused. He refused to be called Pharaoh's daughter. He refused to associate himself with the rich, with the prominent, with the famous. He refused to take that place because it wasn't, he knew that God's people were the children of Israel. He knew that. And I'm not sure how young he was when he realized all those things, how well he knew some of the connections. Actually, he might have known it before he ended up there with Pharaoh, because his mother taught him until he was weaned, and I think he was maybe about 5 or 6, it seemed like. I'm not quite sure. According to some of the, I didn't just look it up this time, but I thought that in some of the research that I've done, it would have been close to that, but maybe it would have been even older. I don't know. But apparently his mother taught him the fear of God and taught him that God is. As a little lad, Michael, you know, just as young as you, he knew that God is, and that he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Somehow Moses was convinced of that, and here his mother had, I don't know, I would have struggled to do like she did, pass off my son to Pharaoh, Pharaoh's daughter? Really? Have I taught my children? I think some of those people like Moses' parents, they must have known how to teach children. I don't know how to teach children, apparently. I would struggle to give my children off at 6, 7 years old to who knows who out there, a pagan religion, pagan god, pagan worshiper. Can you imagine fathers, mothers, can you imagine giving your son under that influence? And he's still somehow instilled in his mind. We can say, okay, well, it was just God's protection. And yes, I believe so. I believe there was God's protection there. But I believe there's also something, like it says, In verse 23, it says, by faith, Moses, when he was born, was hid of his parents. This is talking about the faith of his parents. His parents had so much faith, they hid him. They cared for him. They weren't going to just let him die with Pharaoh, killing the babies there. Because he was a proper child, and they were not afraid of the king's commandment. They feared God. They had faith in God, and somehow that message was communicated to Moses, And yes, there may be a time when Moses was wandering about, and maybe he was 12 years old, and he was having a fun time with the king's children, and I don't know what all happened in his youth. But there came a time when Moses had a lot of opportunity to choose fun, to choose pleasures of Egypt, to choose those things, but he refused to be called Pharaoh's daughter. He refused that. I said something wrong, I think. Sorry. And sorry, please, if I said something wrong, you understand me, hopefully. Moses refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. Sorry, that maybe I should just read that instead of trying to say it in my own words. But he refused. He refused. It was a choice. There's a response that's coming out of faith. In verse 25, choosing rather to suffer affliction, he made a choice. He chose to suffer. He chose to suffer. Because, why? Because he believed in God. And then verse 26, he esteeming the reproach of Christ, he esteemed. There's a refusal that happens, there's a choosing that happens, and the choosing is all involved in that, but refusing and esteeming other things that are better. Other things, the reproach of Christ, greater riches than the things of this world. How about us for today? Do we esteem the reproach that we're Christians? You know, we go to Walmart, we don't do everything that everybody else does. You know, it's Veterans Day and people are honoring the military, you know, for their services and so forth. But, you know, we're Christians, and so we bear a reproach. You know, we're not excited about that, you know, like the rest of the world is. And yes, we want to also honor the government. We want to. We need to. We don't talk bad or evil of them, but it's different. We carry a reproach. There's a certain reproach that goes with following Christ, but we count that as being higher than what this world has to offer, the treasures that are in Egypt. And maybe those are our riches, maybe more money in the bank account. Maybe it's a good paying job. Maybe it's a nice house. Maybe it's a nice vehicle. All those things. But those were actions of faith that it produced in Moses' life. And the same will be true for us. Refuse, choose, and esteem. I think those things are very important for us. And I believe if that's true in our life, God can also say, wherefore God, or that it can also be said of us, wherefore God is not ashamed to be called our God. In conclusion, I'd just like to highlight verse, I don't think I'll read all of that. Maybe I should though. Verse 32 to 40 again, I'd just like to highlight, maybe I'll just paraphrase some of it. It talks about it in verse 32 through 34. 32, 33, and 34, it talks about the victories, just the miracles that God did through his people. It talks about the victories there in verse 32, 33, and 34. You know, it sounds like, wow, why not have faith? Why not do this? Why, you know, they subdued kingdoms, they wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, and quenched the fire, or the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword. I mean, things were just going well. They were conquering the world. They were just, this is talking about the Old Testament. Out of weakness, they were made strong. They waxed valiant in fight. And the armies just fled before them. Which of you doesn't want to have faith now? You know, when everything's going good. And I know it didn't all just go good, but it sounds really good right here. You know, it sounds really positive because everything's just, everybody is just melting in front of you, and it's just your enemies, your problems, like Jeriah, like we were sharing, the problems really seemed little and God seemed big. Some heroes of faith or and these things are encouraging to me. What the verse 32 and through 34, you see how God moved. That is encouraging, but some real encouragement to me is when it goes on what it says later here. Verse 35, it says, women received their dead, raised to life again. That actually would go with the first part. Then it says, and others were tortured, not accepting deliverance. Faith, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. Faith. They knew that there was more in following God than to follow this worldly kingdom, these worldly movements, these worldly things, even their own flesh and carnal ambitions. There was more to it, and so therefore they were willing to not accept deliverance, go all the way and follow Jesus, and because they knew that beyond this life, there's a better place. They were looking for a city whose hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. And others had cruel mockings and scourgings, yea, moreover, of bonds and imprisonment. They were stoned and sawn asunder, were tempted and were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented. All of us have clothes on this morning. We're doing all right, but which one of us would be willing to follow God if we barely had clothes to put on and all we could find is a little bit of leather, a little bit of goatskins, sheepskins maybe, to cover ourselves? It wasn't because they were just wanting to be some hobo out in the mountains that they were doing these things. It was because they were driven from their homes, like it says in verse 38, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and in mountains and in dens and caves of the earth. And these all, having obtained a good report through faith. Notice the importance of faith. Through faith, received not the promise. In other words, they didn't experience the prom, or I think it's actually talking about the promise of Christ coming is what it's referring to there. They were looking forward to the time of Christ when Christ was coming. And these people that the writer is here referring to, these were people in the Old Testament. They hadn't received the promise, but they knew that God is, and God is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. And so God said He's going to send a Messiah. He's going to do it. He's going to do it. No question. So you can cut me in pieces. You can chase me out of my home. You can put me in the dens and caves of the earth. You can chase me there. No problem. I believe God is, and He's a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. He's sending His Messiah, and I'm trusting Him for that. That's what they did. That's what they believed. Their faith was settled. Their faith was settled. There was no, absolutely no turning, no hesitancy of turning away, no wavering in their faith. God, in verse 40, God having provided some better thing for us, that they without us should not be made perfect. And then he goes on in verse 1 of chapter 12, wherefore seeing we are also compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. And this race is the race of faith, I believe. the walk of faith. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. The importance of your faith. I believe in this day and age, faith is just as important as it was back then. I really believe so. I know I believe I shared with a couple of you the sad reality of there was two couples that one I would have talked to this the other weekend here when we were up in Pennsylvania. And another one that I would have heard about of somebody else that you just wouldn't have imagined. You just wouldn't have imagined that they would be where they're at. One of the couples is separated. They're no longer living together. The other couple is struggling extremely in the marriage, in their marriage, and they're together, but they're not together. I believe we're living in the last days, brothers and sisters. I really believe that. The devil is no respecter of persons. And I think every one of us is a target for him. And unless we have faith in God that is settled, we also will perish. We also will lose our way. But with faith and by faith, we can have the confidence to go on. And nothing, just like these in the book of Hebrews, nothing will sway us. Nothing will cause us to go astray. These couples that I'm talking about are people that I know personally very well. Some I would have went to Bible school with. One couple. Another I had worked with some time ago. Faith is very important. Just like it says here in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6. Without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. I believe God is wanting to reward every one of us. He wants to. He does not have defeat in mind for any of us. If we want to be found faithful, we need faith. Faith is extremely important, and faith will move us to action. Faith will get us out of our chair, out of our seat, and we will come to God when he calls us. God bless you.